Hello and welcome back to The Break Room, the world famous Superstore fan podcast. I'm Jordan Wiegand, and with me today, as always, is Aylin Rowland.
Hello.
And Casey McGeorge.
How's it going, everybody?
Good.
It's going good. We were just talking off air about how this is our last, like, normal episode where we're going to talk about the episode. We're going to preview next week because... You know, we only have the two episodes left, and they're airing in a 1 hour block next week. So it's definitely strange. It hasn't really hit me yet that this show is ending. So
me either.
I will say though, watching this episode was the first time that it really started feeling like it was building to something. So let's get into it. Episode 111. Overall, episode 13 of the final season, Lowell Anderson, directed by Kabir Akhtar, written by Renee Goob and Josh Malmuth, premiered March 18th, 2021 on NBC.
When the Cloud Nine founder son makes a surprise visit, the employees struggle to accommodate his bold ideas. Garrett helps Dina navigate a tricky situation with Brian. Jonah and Sandra use social media to investigate some worrying news. Real quick, before I ask my normal question, to me, just about nothing in that synopsis is fairly accurate, but whatever. But initial thoughts.
Yeah, that's true.
I actually kind of got what the synopsis was picking up, I was picking up what the synopsis was putting down, I guess, you know. I was able to... Yeah, it's kind of worded in a way so you don't know what they're talking about,
right.
But I think it makes sense now. The tricky situation with Brian is obviously the breakup. The worrying news is the Amy might be dating somebody, but I enjoyed this episode a lot, actually. This was, for me, I had a fun time with it. I cringed a lot with Lowell Anderson, which is what I think they were going for. I think I definitely cringed a lot at the TV dropping when Elias drops the TV.
Oh, God.
And as he's putting it in the box, man, I like physically like jumped. Like my
really?
Shoulders were like, I cringed. I was trying to close my eyes. I was like, I can't watch this TV break. And man, Dave Foley, from... what was it, Kids on the Block? What is that, what troop?
Kids
in the Hall. That's what it is. It's like New Kids on the Block. Yeah, Kids in the Hall.
Him and Glenn were,
yes,
both, mm-hmm, in the Kids in the,
yes,
Hall.
Yes, I know Dave Foley more from News Radio, which was a great NBC sitcom a long time ago with Phil Hartman and Joe Rogan and stuff.
That's where I remember,
yes,
him from.
Yes, he was so good in that. Playing a way different role in this, and I really enjoyed what Dave Foley brought to the episode. How about you, Aylin?
Yeah, same. This episode, all around, I liked pretty much all of the, plots and subplots and the pairings. I know some of them were the same that we've been seeing recently a lot, like Jonah and Sandra. And,
yeah.
But, the Lowell Anderson stuff was great. I didn't actually cringe as much as you guys mentioned, but I guess maybe, I'm not sure, but... I also really liked Cheyenne in this episode, and we'll obviously get into more, but, I just thought she was being actually pretty, good and make it sound weird, but she was, like, being, pretty good at her job this week. I think the writers have, really been steering her in that way lately, so it's a little sad just because then, that we can't get more of that, with the show ending now. But yeah, all around, really good episode.
So for me, I think you were looking for the word Cheyenne's becoming an adult.
Yeah, thank you, in more or less words.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to put it. I think the casting of Dave Foley was fantastic. His portrayal of Lowell Anderson was... obviously we'll never know, but I can't imagine anybody else portraying that character. He did a fantastic job with that. I did cringe a lot myself. I think I even texted you guys afterwards. Watching this episode gave me Forrest Whitaker eye, and I'm not even joking when I say my eyes started twitching watching this episode several times. So either I'm dying and I don't really know it, or this episode just really just, I don't know.
Got to ya.
Yeah. Let's go with Dina and Garrett first.
So much progress.
I don't know if she lets it slip, but Dina ends up letting it out that she plans on breaking up with Brian after she gets a delivery of some dried fruit. And what was it, like 40 pears made a little itty bitty?
Yeah. 40
yeah.
pears. Cupcake. A little too many
thing,
pears.
Cupcake size thing of dried pears. Which was nice and sweet of Brian that he went and got and found 40 pears worth of stuff for her and then, you know, did that. But anyway, I don't think it was by accident that she put out that she planned on breaking up with Brian to Garrett. I think she had ulterior motives behind it, but that's just me. I will say I think my favorite part is later on when they're, I guess, in the back trying to figure out or at some point when she's trying to talk to Mateo, because she says Mateo looks like he's been broken up with a lot, which, yeah, probably. And trying to find out the best way to break up with somebody. And that whole, which in normal times probably would have happened in the break room, but obviously because of coronavirus, it can't happen in the break room.
I like that bit too, where I think you were talking about, because how it comes back later to, you know, when Dina does hop onto the computer to talk to Brian, and she's, God, I love that. Lauren was great in that part specifically, where she's kind of doing the highs and lows of what they were talking about, what she should do, right? Like, she was getting super emotional, trying to be serious, and then she'd get, like, kind of passive-aggressive with him when he asked her, like, what's wrong or something.
What's wrong?
Yeah. She's like, all of these probing questions, and it was just, yeah, that was a good little bit, because it just kind of showed how in those circumstances of breakups how different they are. And because it's Dina, she's, you know, not naturally capable of expressing human, you know, emotion like that. So that was pretty funny.
Yeah, I just really enjoyed you know, that breakup scene when she's trying to break up with them was just, you know, her trying every single thing, you know, that they mentioned to see which one would work. And then eventually when Garrett does have the phone call with her pulling the, you know, the one that nobody said to pull, the, you know, it's the nice compliment, the you're too great for, like, I'm not ready for to date somebody so great.
Yeah.
And him taking that, like, oh, that's the best thing anybody's ever said right to me.
And actually,
it was just really great.
Remind me, was that, Tony, I think, was the one who said that, you know, Sandra's son. I think he was the one who mentioned, he's like, yeah, his girlfriend broke up with them, something like that. And he's the one who said, just not ready to date someone as great as you.
Well, I'm sure in his 40 plus years of being on this earth, he's had a few experiences, but.
Yeah. And also, I have to say, when she, I forgot to say this a minute ago, but when she just slowly closes the laptop computer, on him, and she's like, Dina, what are you doing? And she doesn't say anything, just slowly closes it. That was a power move.
And I kind of get why Brian would call Garrett up. I mean, he's probably the only other person. One, he's probably the only other person that he really knows there in the first place, right?
Yeah, they were in a throuple together, too, so.
And then there's that as well.
Yeah.
There's the ancillary things. But to me, that would just be a little awkward to call him. Like, is Dina trying to break up with me? Like,
I know.
Yeah, I thought maybe he was going to call and be like, more like angry, like, is it because of you guys, you know? But no, it went a totally different way.
Yeah
and that's why I say it might be awkward, because it'd be like, I don't know if if there were another guy involved in a relationship I had that I willingly let into this relationship, right? Mm-hmm. And we had some sort of throuple going on. Not judging anybody who does it. Whatever makes you and your partner happy, hey, rock on. Or rock off, whatever. And maybe there's problems and my significant other is leaving me. My first thought might be that maybe they're leaving me for that other person. So I'm not really sure if I would call that other person.
Yeah, Brian didn't seem too quick on the, like, uptake on that, though. Like, I guess his mind didn't go that way, you know?
And in all fairness, if I look back at this, to me, I don't know if Brian was actually invested in the throuple idea.
Right.
And, I mean, we haven't seen him much, so it's hard to tell. It seems like maybe he was just going along with it because that's what Dina wanted, mm-hmm. but it didn't seem like he was... it didn't seem like he was really engaged and that was something he wanted to do, but I could be wrong.
I actually think he's really just really innocent, you know, like, mm-hmm. like oblivious.
Like kind of naive.
Yeah. Yeah. To where he's like, I'm going to call Garrett to see, cause one, he's the only one I know, but to see, hey, is anything wrong with Dina? Not thinking like,
yeah.
Dina wants to break up with him for Garrett or, you know, something like that. And then with the throuple idea, you know, him just being like, sure, we'll roll with that. Not thinking again that it could be because she's not fully satisfied or invested on her end, you know.
With just him, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's not even Brian who brings any of... Well, I mean, he does, but it takes Garrett saying... Even if Dina was thinking of breaking up with you, you know, you're a vet, you're a good guy or whatever. He says you could, you know, you'd be great on like dating apps. But it's not until Garrett says that then Brian is like, oh, dating apps. So you really think she is breaking up with me? You know, so it was kind of funny in that sense to see that happen because Garrett is seldom the guy to really get himself in situations like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because he doesn't usually have, like, the word vomit like the other characters do. So, you know, I liked it when Dina came back there and caught him, and she's like, are you talking to Brian? And then she just breaks up with him right then.
Which, I mean, you know, a breakup is kind of just a weird thing anyway, mm-hmm. right? So... And then to have someone else do it for you by accident?
Yeah.
But I guess it works out in the end. Sure, why not? And then we get the whole... I can't even explain what happened in the end with these two as far as...
Their date?
Maybe one of you guys can better explain it, yeah.
Oh, you mean just like how it happened and their... I mean, they have a weird,
yeah.
They have a weird, well, it's okay. It's Dina, right? So Dina has a weird sense of flirting in general, right? Like I think, so I mean, it's also even makes it a little weirder that it's Garrett because we know now she likes him. That was established. And when she was talking to Cheyenne, she keeps sort of teasing him about how, you know, if she breaks up with Brian, he can't wait for her to be single so he can date her. And then by the time we get to that end scene with them, which I have to say, I absolutely loved. It was the most odd back and forth, like, flirting, but it worked because it's them. You know what I mean? And Dina, what'd she say? She was like, well, you know, I don't really so much want to date you, but if you really wanted to, I could take pity on you and we could have dinner tonight. I think she says something like that, you know? Uh-huh. And then, right? And then he says, oh, well, that's just like you. She mentioned like his favorite restaurant, I think. And he's like, that just shows you don't care about me at all, which is obviously he's messing, you know, with her and kind of sort of calling her out. Slightly, because he knows that she's wanting to go somewhere that he likes a lot. And then it just kind of ends there, but they're going out on a date, basically, later. I mean, mm-hmm. It was It was pretty funny. I liked it. I mean, don't you think it's just like it's Dina? Why it was kind of that weird back and forth. It's not like she's going to come out right and say, hey, let's go out tonight. Right after she broke up with Brian, you know.
Yeah, I think it was her way of extending the invitation without making her seem like she was the one interested.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Garrett sees through it and, you know, kind of goes along with it. And, you know, they're going on that date. I guess we'll maybe get an update these next two episodes. But if not, I mean, you could even end it there of, you know, they're trying to work that out.
Right.
And, you know, this is kind of what I was thinking was going to happen at some point, is that they were going to come back around to them. And it's been building to that this last, you know, few episodes. And I'm happy to see it done.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't expect it to do, you know, happen that quickly, I guess. But, you know, they're running out of time, I suppose. So I just, you know, didn't think, given the way things were with them just maybe two episodes back, that it would have happened within one episode where she breaks up. Yeah. And then they're dating.
But, right.
But it did. So.
Anything else on Dina and Garrett here before we move on?
No, I think we're good.
To be continued.
All right. Next, let's move to Mr. Anderson. Lowell Anderson, the founder's son, pops in. And DJ, sorry, I'm giving you a little heads up now. You're just going to have to bleep this. Mr. Anderson is an asshole.
Ding, ding, ding.
There's really no
other, there's no other word.
That's the... Yeah, and like I said, DJ, sorry, you got to bleep that. Or maybe you don't. I don't know. But yeah. I'm just giving you some heads up. This is good. That one deserved it.
He is. Yeah.
But like I said, the casting of Dave Foley was just so great for this. He pops up. Cheyenne encounters him first, and he acts like everyone is supposed to know who he is.
Yeah, like he's some celebrity. Yeah.
And in all fairness, if Glenn wasn't there, like, what the hell was going to happen?
Oh. Right.
Yeah, I don't know. But, you know, of course, Glenn knows who he is and loves the guy for getting their business closed, I guess.
Yeah. The strangest connection. But it's Glenn, so...
So eventually he comes in the back. Dina and Glenn are just kissing up to him big time for whatever reason. Hey, whatever. Everyone else is just literally sitting there like, well, why are we back here and who is this guy? Quick side note. I know why, and the reason they're doing it in the back in the warehouse is for Corona reasons and to give everybody spaced out. But I really miss them being inside the break room.
Yeah, this season... I definitely miss that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's what we named the whole show after here.
Yeah, that's true.
But just not only that, some of the best and funniest things and some of the things you would see on, like, their whiteboards in the back were just so awesome. But anyway, so Glenn decides, after he's told he needs to get a haircut and impress him and or whatever he said, I don't know, Glenn decides to have Cheyenne show him around, which I keep forgetting that Cheyenne, once again, is not only the floor supervisor, but she is actually making growth and strides this season that she didn't make over the first previous five seasons.
Yeah.
So initially I was like, why would you put him with Cheyenne? But then afterwards, like, it kind of made more sense, and I was more on board with it.
Yeah, I mean, and it's funny because really, ordinarily where you would in the past think Cheyenne's going to do or say something to mess that up, you know, touring around with him, she didn't at all. And everything that happened was, you know, basically just because the guy is a weirdo. And the other word you called him, you know. So, yeah, Cheyenne was great in this episode.
Yeah, sure. I like that she really stuck up at times for like no, that idea is stupid. And he's like, yeah. Well, we're gonna do it anyway because I've made a $1 billion company and you have not, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like let's take everything out of the boxes. And there was something else that he mentioned too.
Let's get rid right of the shelf.
Right after that, yeah, let's get rid of the shelf. She's like, no, we're not doing that.
Oh, the first thing was remember he had everybody take their vests off. In the back. Yeah.
To get in the mind of to not put a divide between the customers and the
right.
and the workers.
And on top of that, he made Mateo wear that T-shirt.
Yeah, people were wondering why Mateo would be wearing that shirt. Well, there's your answer. He's forced to.
Yeah.
Not only that, like I said, there's the let's take everything out of the boxes. Let's get rid of the shelves. He just opens a bag of chips initially and just starts chowing down.
That's what Dave Foley just pulls off so well, though. Just like being smarmy, you know, and like grabbing a bag of chips and just nonchalantly eating them and acting like people know who he is. Like he was just so good.
He picks up an apple, takes a bite out of it, yes. puts it down somewhere on another shelf.
Oh yeah.
Blows his nose in a towel.
Made my wife. My wife was like, ew.
Yeah, and that was, I think, Cheyenne's reaction, too.
The first interactions with him is where my Forrest Whitaker eye started coming into place initially. And so here's the thing. He's the founder's son. I get it. To an extent. Do we even know if he is still in, like, part of the company, or is he just because he has this money because Zephra bought the company from his dad, just going around store to store and that's it? Because
right,
I mean
what do you, I kind of think he was just there, and I don't think he's involved anymore, do you?
I don't think so. Like I said, typically sometimes when there's mega conglomerations like this, sometimes maybe for a period of time, they keep members, either if there's boards and things, they combine them and they figure out new roles and stuff like that. With some other stuff, sometimes what they do is they keep people on for a period of time to make a transition before they part ways and everything. If Zephyr is as big as we imagine it to be, right? So I take it to be like a Google or Facebook type thing, right? Somewhere along those lines, especially considering the amount of products that they're making.
And yeah, like dialysis machines. Yeah.
And propellers for boats and planes and things, right? So they're that big and they're buying this company. I could see maybe they keep people involved for a little bit, but then at some point, here's your money. Now get along, little doggy, right?
Yeah.
Go away. So I think at this point he wouldn't be involved. I think he's just kind of a bored, weird man and who's just living off that infamy, but
yeah, it's not very clear. I mean, he could be, like you said, like if they had any sort of, you know, Zephra still only bought them not that long ago. There could still be some sort of
ties
transition, but.
Well, it's been over a year. Yeah. Was it at the end of season four?
You mean with the whole Zephra stuff starting to trickle in? Yeah. Maybe, like, with them mentioning it anyway.
Yeah, because they did it when they went up for the negotiations, right? That Zephyr had purchased the company. With a lady cut her hand on the bagel. I don't know why I remember that, but... But yeah, I think it was the end of season four where they had bought... Zephyr literally bought it in the middle of them negotiating with the union. So it's been a year and a half now?
It was
getting close to 2 years.
It was actually mid-season 5.
Yeah. Oh, was it?
Yeah, yeah, it was episode 10 and 11 so of season 5.
Yeah, I could see why it feels that way. Yeah.
But it's still 2020.
Right.
But it's still been over a year. So I think at this point, typically, I mean, I could be wrong, and I'm probably way wrong, but I think at this point, he'd probably just not be there. Like,
yeah, he's probably just, like you said, a bored. I mean, like, yeah, it's true. What else is he going to do?
Like, yeah, he's a billionaire.
Yeah.
And then just the simple fact that nobody but Cheyenne was willing to stand up to this guy and just be like, no.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, because that's true. Like, let's get into it, because it's Glenn who he tells that story about his dad and his dad that he took him out, supposedly, you know, that night, like that they closed their business down or whatever. And then we come to find out that it went very different than Glenn had originally thought with the whole dog food thing.
So I also cringed, Jordan, with the TV. I'm not sure. I can't remember what brand of TV that was. But I just know that TV was the eye twitch was kind of out of control when I first saw that, and I was just like, no.
Yeah.
Especially, I don't know if you guys remember. I don't know if I was recording with you guys when I got the TV I have now, because I had issues with it for about a month and a half, where I got the TV. I was still working at Walmart. I got the TV. Because if you work Black Friday at Walmart, you get like an extra 15% discount for working Black Friday. So I got the TV. I picked it up from Walmart. I brought it home. As soon as I pulled it out the box, the TV was shattered.
Oh, jeez. Mm.
So I had to return the TV, right? So I returned the TV, get the next one back to my house. It's not shattered. The screen is fine, but then it doesn't plug in.
It doesn't plug in.
Then I had to call... Or it plugs in, but it doesn't work.
Oh.
No Walmarts within like 150 miles of me had that model. So I had to call up Vizio. Vizio was willing to say, okay, cool, not a problem. We will replace the TV. So they set up a date and a time to get the TV replaced for me. And it was coming through some weird freight company. They called me later. They set up a time. They said between like 11:30 and 1 o'clock or whatever on a certain day. So I had some errands to run. So it's like I was in a place about 30 minutes away. So it was a day I had off of work. I think it was a Friday or something. I'm off work. The freight company calls me and they're like, hey, we're going to be in Palmdale in like 10 minutes where I live. We just want to double check your address. I said, no. The appointment time is between these times. I'm running some errands right now. It won't be back until between those times. Oh, but we got other deliveries and we don't want to have to come back. You're going to have to come back because the delivery time you guys gave me was between these times. That's why I'm out right now. Well, they didn't come back. It took me like a week to get a hold of the freight company again.
Jeez.
And they apologized and then had to send some people back out. It was a whole nightmare.
I remember that story, actually. So, yeah, we were definitely recording at some point. But I remember you telling me about the scheduled time and them coming at the wrong time.
Yeah, I'm not even sure if I told it on the podcast. If I did, that was when we were initially recording. That was like... I think that was when we first started recording.
Yeah, yeah.
So listeners, go back in the archives, listen to the first couple episodes.
But your TV did not fall out of or into the box in the store and break. Like, what happened?
But just, like, so my point is, after all of that, that could be somebody's birthday present. That could be somebody's anniversary present. That could be somebody's tax return. that could be somebody's wife might be buying that for their husband.
Okay.
Or somebody's husband could be buying that for their husband. Somebody's husband could be buying that for their wife.
I don't know about maybe their the wife other way around, but.
You'd be surprised. You know, so maybe that's a present for someone's kid, whatever the case is. And then, okay, they're ringing it up, and then is it Elias who's sitting there fiddling with it?
Yeah.
Poor guy. That's not his fault. You see him take it, and it just smashes in front of you.
And Cheyenne was actually about to go over and help him, and then it drops. Yeah.
And then, you know, now I'm playing the what-if game. What if that was the last one that was there? Like,
wow, no wonder you guys cringed. That's the whole scenario that was going through your head when that happened.
Well, just, I'm an electronics guy anyway, so something like that, yeah. Like...
And here I thought, I was like, oh, that was a funny bit. But I understand the context, because you guys are like, oh my God, that could have been my TV.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is.
Yeah.
Also how expensive they are, too. For gaming
or whatever, you know.
Speaking of gaming, another quick story. Oh, when the PS5 first came out, right? Well, you got sleep today. You'll be all right.
Casey doesn't have to go to work today, so buckle in, guys.
Story time. We'll talk about Superstore later.
When the PS5 first came out, there was a video that went out because they were so hard to get, which they still are. But there was a guy and his friends who were sitting there playing whatever on the couch. And his wife, girlfriend, significant other, I don't know, comes over, grabs his PS4, picks it up, throws it down on the ground and smashes it, right? And everybody is just in shock because, like, there's nothing, like, they don't know what's going on. But then she saves the day because she walks in with a PS5 in a box. So,
okay, but I'd still like my PS4. I still have both. Why are we smashing it on the ground?
Plus, now we know, like, you got to... With the way the PS4 is, you got to do
transfer data,
move saves over, and everything. It's not easy, but back to Superstore now. So like my force worker eye was going crazy with the twinge there, and then when Cheyenne was just finally like, "I'm done with this," I was so happy that she stood up, and then she stood up to Glenn when he came in, with his flock of seagulls hairstyle.
Oh my God, I laughed so hard at Glenn's hair.
Yeah,
and it was so great when Cheyenne was even like, can you give me what's your whatever the stylist's name's number, because that is
Trinity.
Yeah, can you give me Trinity's number? But I
oh man, that was good.
You know, when she stood up to Glenn and. I was shocked, but I was also very happy and proud for Cheyenne because, like I said, she's been the one this season, like the only one this season, maybe except Garrett, who's kind of made some sort of growth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, because in the past, I feel like the writers would maybe have her take that step forward a little bit, you know, in like one episode or maybe two, but then. It was always that one step forward, four steps back kind of thing, because then she'd go right back to her normal kind of behavior. But now this season, it's been more of a consistent forward type of thing.
Now, silly question. Do you think she's made some sort of strides this year because
Amy's not there?
Especially once they found out about the cancellation and there was the thought of... the spinoff.
Yeah.
Do you think that's why?
It could be that, or them just trying to round out the character arcs, you know, her being a floor supervisor and being one to take responsibility, stand up for herself, you know, that even if the show doesn't get picked up, the spinoff, you see a growth there. I think that's probably the biggest reason for her standing up to Lowell Anderson.
Right, because, I mean, it's still nice to see, obviously, because, I mean, it's this many years later. She's not a 17, 18-year-old anymore, however old she was, you know, when we first saw her in, you know, the pilot. when she's, you know, pregnant, she's getting, you know, getting her stuff together a little bit. I don't know about Bo, but I guess we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see in the finale. I think he's coming back, they said. So do we want to move on a little bit further down the Lowell Anderson train to the dog food?
Yes. Yeah, well,
the dog food original story, right? Mm-hmm. That, you know, we heard before that Glenn says that when the company, you know, was put his Sturgis and Sons out of business, that Lowell took his dad out for dinner, paid for it. Then we get the other side of that story where he says he made Glenn's dad eat dog food, or else the store would close. Like, he would keep it open if he ate the dog food. Like, he would, you know, help them out or whatever.
But the reason he did that is because when they were in the office, then Lowell Anderson starts questioning everything. Like, why did you go out during the day
and get a haircut? Told me to.
Why, you know, why are these employees doing these crazy things?
Why is Cheyenne, you know, why is Cheyenne not taking what I'm saying? Right.
Or are you planning on disciplining Cheyenne? Stuff like that. And when I can somewhat understand Glenn not wanting to write Cheyenne up. This situation, A, because I don't even know if you work for the company anymore. Just because you're the founder's son, mm-hmm. if you're not involved with the company.
Like, he has no power, you know.
Yeah. Two, you're bat crap crazy, and look at the things you've had people do or trying to have people do all day, which that's on Glenn for allowing it to happen as well. But, and then that's when he says, you know, aren't you going to show her who's in charge? Glenn's like, oh, she knows who's in charge, blah, blah, blah. And then that's when the whole dog food thing comes out. When he tells him about his dinner with his dad that night. And if there ever was a moment for Glenn to not be Glenn and maybe just get up and sock somebody in the face, that would have been it.
Oh, my God. He would never.
Every person has it in them that at some point they might decide enough, like Popeye, that's all I can stand and I can't stand no more, and decide to go off and wail on the dude. Apparently Glenn hasn't reached that point yet. I don't know why.
Yeah. Well, he did in his own way, because he ran over and got the dog food and made him eat it. But then he was pretty... eager.
I love Glenn's line here, though, before that, when he says there's two types of people in the world, one that makes the person eat dog food and the other person that eats it. And Glenn's like, are you sure it's just those two?
Yeah.
There's not a third option here somewhere? Yeah.
Yeah.
How about, there's probably a third. There's probably at least a third. And the person who watches the guy eat dog food.
Mm-hmm, yeah, that's me.
As we see later, when Lowell Anderson there is eating dog food and there's everybody kind of gathered around.
And Glenn tries to take it back from him, and he's like, no, all the stuff, good stuff's at the bottom or whatever. Yeah. It's like, not his first time.
See? So that right there makes me think this guy's definitely out of his mind. And not only that, but like... are we even sure, A, he is Lowell Anderson, whoever this dude is, and B, if he is, like, he's definitely not involved with the company because the dude is eating dog food.
The only thing that makes me really think he's still involved, right, is the end.
Oh, yeah.
When he lets it slip that, you know, I want to see, yeah, I'm going to visit more of my stores before Zephyr shuts them all down.
Right, that's true.
Or maybe that was part of the negotiations when they bought it, was eventually, and for his time there, he found out, yeah, they were going to shut the stores down. Maybe that does mean he actually is Lowell Anderson.
Yeah, he is.
But just, geez, man.
He wants a conspiracy theory.
Okay, and then How is it? So who was there? Lowell was there. Glenn was there.
Cheyenne.
When they walked him out and he said that Cheyenne then, was there, who was the other person? Is it
Mateo?
I think it may have been Mateo because I think he says, like, that guy was out of his mind, Cheyenne. Like, why are you listening to what he's saying?
Yeah.
How is Cheyenne the only one that picked up on the fact that he said they're closing the stores down?
I don't know, because the minute he said it, I sat up and I was like, oh, there's the first, you know, real information within the store. I mean,
I think they all heard it, they understand it, but I think they all just think he's crazy.
Yeah.
And they're not taking his word at face value. I mean, this is a guy that wanted to get rid of the shelves.
Right.
You know, so I think that's where they're coming from. But yeah, Cheyenne definitely is the one that picks up on it. And
it's the shopping cart thing too, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, she puts everything together, right? Mm-hmm. She puts it all together.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So to go on with that, I want to say it was a subreddit I crawled down a while back, or a BuzzFeed article, and they talked with people who worked at like Kmart's and Sears. Remember a couple years ago when they finally were put out of their misery and closed down?
Yeah.
Maybe 2 or 3 years ago, something like that, where they started closing them down nationwide. And they started talking about stuff that happened. And like Cheyenne brought up in the very beginning, where they weren't getting shopping carts anymore. They started hearing the people who worked there were starting to get less and less of the merchandise in. And then eventually shelves started being empty. And then when people found out stores were closing, less and less of the people started showing up for work because they were either didn't care anymore, or they were trying to find another job, or they had already found another job. Because especially like if a store just closes on you and you're trying to get your last paycheck, that can cause issues because the store's closed. Like, where do you go now to get your last paycheck? If it's direct deposit and it doesn't go in, who do you call? You can call Zephyr, but as we've seen, like, their telephone system is jumbled. People might have health insurance things that they're trying to work through still. So, like, when a store closes down like that, it gets out of control.
Yeah, I guess we can talk about it right now. I talked about it last week, I think. I'm not really overly fond of the plot line of
the stores closing
down. I could understand it more if it was that one branch, I guess. But for all of them, like, do we, you know, Cheyenne mentions, like, sales being down, I guess. Right. But do we think that's,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess. But people, you know, I feel like every time I go to the store here, even with the COVID restrictions,
it's freaking crazy.
It's busy. Everybody's trying to get food. Everybody's trying to get toilet paper and, you know.
Yeah.
You know, obviously this comes around because of the, you know, because the show got canceled, or else, you know, they would just be continuing on with the store.
Mm-hmm.
But what was the point of Zephyr buying them then? Because they wanted to have, I guess, more distribution control of their products. But then they're just like, never mind. Like, I don't know. It just seems very strange.
It could be that. It could be the data that they wanted to see what kind of items and merchandise people are really buying, and then they can
do you only start 1 year worth that of data though.
I feel like I don't know.
A year is a lot.
I totally get what you mean, because it's not like obviously a great feeling going into the finale, because we're like, okay, you feel like all the times they try to, you know, sort of rally or go against corporate, it's like they're winning somehow.
Well, I mean, what was the point of the customer satisfaction surveys?
Yeah.
And that kind of stuff, if you're going to close all of them down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here's the thing. And this will come into play with the appearance of Amy at the end. So we might as well just mention that spoiler. Amy appears at the end of this episode, like we talked about last week, where we thought maybe she would appear.
Yeah, hopefully you watched the episode before you listen to this.
Cheyenne calls, is on, seen on the phone talking with somebody, and Amy is on the phone and saying that she'll look into it.
I also do have a question, follow-up when you're done, about that, because, yeah.
So And I might answer your question before we get to it here. So Cloud Nine is a subsidiary of Zephyr, right? So Cloud Nine is still has to go along as if business is functioning. They're still putting out their information. Jeff is still trying to get the surveys. If Zephyr is planning on closing Cloud Nine, there might be a total of like 10 to 15 people that know this. Like, it's not going to be something that's put out until it's definitive and they have dates and they figure out if it's going to be a rolling thing where they close it in certain regions, if they close everything all on one day. Like, it's I'll equate it to when I was in the military, I had a top secret security clearance, right? Now, just because I had a top secret security clearance doesn't mean I can just start grabbing stuff that's labeled top secret, or I can go into any meeting that's top secret just because I have that clearance. It's still a need to know in those circumstances. So this is a situation where I would imagine, like, if the CEO of Zephyr and his lawyers and some other very high level presidents and vice presidents are the only ones who know. So I don't think even the Cloud Nine function, like the guy in charge of the Cloud Nine subsidiary may not even know that they're planning on closing the store down. Jeff at his level definitely wouldn't know, okay, because he's so far disconnected from the top. Mm-hmm. Amy's definitely not going to know because she's dealing with customer information, and they know the more people that they tell this to, the quicker it's going to get out. And the one thing they want to control is the narrative and the how and the why and the when of the closing. So I don't think anybody would have known. And I think for them, it's just going to be business as usual until the hammer drops and we get, hey, we're closing this stuff down.
Yeah. So, yeah, within that, you did answer my.
I'm imagining you were going to ask, do we think that Amy
knew? Yes, because much to my surprise, right after the episode ended, of course, I was live tweeting pretty much. And I guess that for me, I read her completely wrong because, I don't know, Amy's like tone of voice can be kind of funny when she's like, she's not a great liar. But for some reason, when I saw that, I thought that she knew and was just acting surprise to Cheyenne. But when I like kind of polled this and asked people on Twitter, I was very much surprised to find that pretty much everyone said what you just said, that they don't think that Amy knew, which having, you know, heard what the way you explained it does make sense, obviously. Because I guess it was also, I couldn't completely remember exactly what it is that Amy does for Zephyr. So I was like, yeah, how quote unquote important is she for someone to, for her to know or not know? I don't know. So clearly, I guess.
I'm going to say she knows.
Do you think she knows?
I'm going to say she did know.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know.
It'd be boring if we all said she didn't know. So I'm going to say she knows, and we'll see who was right next week.
Yeah, I don't know, but we'll be surprised now, I suppose, for the finale.
To me, like I said, I can't imagine there's very many people who actually know, that bit of information. So the less people that know, the more you can control how the information flows and where it flows to and everything else.
Right.
Because the last thing you, especially when at their level, when you're like presidents and CEOs and you have a board, especially when their stock price is involved, because if that stuff leaks out way early, it can cause havoc with your stock prices and people can lose money. And then you've got to answer questions and stuff like that. And it starts getting real tricky with stuff I have absolutely no knowledge about that's way beyond my
probably realm. Also a bit of like a PR nightmare or something, I would imagine. A little bit. Yeah.
Yes. And especially as you guys have brought up, we are still, hopefully we're in the waning days of the pandemic. It depends. You never know. I know I got my first vaccine shot last week. I'll be getting my second one next week. So, especially, like I said, if we're still in a pandemic in some way, and all of a sudden it comes out that one of the biggest retailers is closing everything down, that's definitely not going to look good on them. So,
right.
Anything else about Mr. Anderson?
No, I think it's best to probably move on to... Yeah,
we've mentioned
Sandra
Amy.
Sandra and Jonah.
Yeah, we've mentioned Amy, so now we can talk about her more.
This is where my Forrest Whitaker eye really, really went into overdrive.
This? Really? Again? Okay.
And it's not for the reasons that you will think.
Oh, okay.
It's not even for the person that you will think. So, before we start, let me say, even though I will always hate him, there was no hate on Mateo this week.
Yeah, well, he kind of...
Zero.
There wasn't much.
But he still dug such a big hole, he'll never be able to get out of it. But there was zero hate on Mateo this week.
Zero.
There was zero hate on Jonah this week.
Well, bless.
My hate was directed at Sandra this week.
Oh, Sandra was giving me life this week. I mean, she was crazy. She was crazy about things, but...
So here's what you're going to do. You're going to go to Amy. I'm going to poke a hole in the condom.
But before that, let's chat about Sandra and her knack for, you know, everyone's... finding everyone's fake social media accounts.
Yeah.
Because that's where this really starts.
We mentioned this in the... I think last week when we were talking about the preview.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. With Jonah, yeah.
Yeah, where it's just organic farming or something. Yeah. And
Instagram underwear.
Instagram models. Yeah.
Scott McPhee. Yeah, so Sandra... Well, actually, I think Jonah is on his phone stalking Emma. To see what's going on with Amy, which actually I just
realized...
Maybe not
stalking. He probably follows her.
Yeah, I'm sure he follows her.
Well,
but
okay, so
I just realized we have
second.
To back up still. Yeah, with yeah.
Yeah, he's doing that initially because he's there with
Hannah talking,
and Carol comes by.
Yeah,
just to bring this out, talks about get it, girl, and whatever. Sure, why not? But he's there talking with Hannah. Hannah, I mean, obviously she doesn't know
about Amy.
Jonah's history.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she just brings up the fact that, hey, I was deposing your old manager, Amy, last night.
Yeah.
And she had a weird connection because she's up in the mountains or something. Now, I will say, hearing something like that about an ex, especially if you're trying to get over them and not totally over them, but you're trying to move on, that's reasonable to see that Jonah might go
a little bonkers
down a social media wormhole.
Yeah.
Not bonkers, just to try and see what's going on and just to see.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he didn't go crazy with it. He was just trying to see. I think that's reasonable, right?
Yeah.
I think that's understandable. So he finds out they're up in the mountains, and then, yeah, that's where we get Sandra coming in, and just, she ruins this poor guy's life for no reason.
Well, she mentions, of course, that she can help him. That's the thing, you know, find out, they sort of know where Amy is, but she... really takes it upon herself to say she can find out where she is and find out who she's with, more importantly.
And he's really not up for doing that, though.
No, I mean, he was just going to look, you know, casually on Emma's thing. And it's Sandra, though, who's my samosa warrior, who's a little crazy, obviously, but bless her heart. But
and here's the thing. Jonah's, I've made the joke before, the best way to get over somebody is to get under somebody else, right? And that's not just necessarily in a sexual way. Sometimes when you go through a extreme heartbreak or something that traumatic.
That's not just completely sexual, that phrase?
Sometimes when you go through something that traumatic or very heartbreaking, the only way eventually to move on is to get yourself back out there and to try and move on.
Right? Sure.
Because the more you're by yourself, the more you're just going to keep wallowing in self-pity. Yeah. And everything else. And no, and then
he is trying.
You got friends who don't want to be around you.
Yeah. He is trying.
We've seen that. He's trying. He's making an attempt. He seemed, at least initially, genuinely interested in Hannah. We saw that a few weeks ago with his conversation with Mateo. And he's trying to get it to get back out there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the people who know you, the people, your friends, should be encouraging you to do this. This is where all my hate was directed at Sandra, because either help him move on or butt out. Like, she had no reason. She had no... She caused more harm by doing this than she did helping Jonah.
Yeah, but then we wouldn't have the funny moments that we did. So,
and I get that. But like I said, this is where my Forrest Whitaker I went into overdrive, because, you know, and Sandra is a great character. And there was a thing on the subreddit where they said maybe she's in like the witness protection program, because if you look at her history and things she's brought up, she's got this weird list of things. Like, she has a photographic or an eidetic memory. She's a trained midwife, you know, and now with this, like, someone brought up maybe she's in like the witness protection program from Hawaii. And that's why she's in the middle of Missouri, which, like, it's hilarious to think that might be the case, but it could work, right?
Yeah. So she just takes everything to another level, basically. And let's see. She comes back to Jonah at some point. And so I think this is when they're in the break room, maybe, and or somewhere, and she's talking about the Amy's like Instagram picture, and you can see the name of the lodge and her sunglasses, and she has the phone number. She looked it up, I guess. And she's telling Jonah to call the place. And that was probably my favorite part of this thing with them, because and even that, like you said, Casey, in that moment he was even still not really, he's like, no, you know, he didn't want to call the place, but he calls and, you know, asks if, and Amy Sosa is staying there, and then, you know, they say no, but he says Bethany, and that's pretty funny that Amy also uses an alias when she's traveling, kind of like her name tag thing.
Yeah, that was a good link.
Yeah. To that. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, there apparently was a Bethany, but it was not Amy Bethany.
Giving tattoos, yeah.
Yeah.
In the parking lot or something.
Yeah.
I love Sandra thinking like, oh, man, that's Amy still. Like, yeah. Yeah, like.
But I have to say, though, because that was the part of this that, I mean, I still, you could tell that for that split second before they tell Jonah that it's some Bethany giving lizard tattoos, when he asks who she checked in with, and they say, with the gentleman. I mean, you can see, though, before he realizes it's not her, that he is, I mean, you know, sad. Well, or, you know, disappointed, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sandra comes back later. Oh, it's the, yeah, she says, call her, like, one last time. And, for like one last night or something together. And then the thing that you said earlier, Jordan, about Sandra saying she's going to poke a hole in the condom.
I just love Jonah being like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Whoa, 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 whoa. And at that point, Jonah's just, he's like, okay, nope. I'm out. Sandra, though, man, in her, she was ready to, you know, have Amy get pregnant and get trapped and stuck right back to Jonah for eternity, huh?
Yeah, she's really trying to, she's really pushing the samosa ship as well.
Mm-hmm. Bless.
And so eventually we get, you know, I like the fact that Jordan and Issa literally tries to say, hey, I'm with Hannah now. You know, Sandra goes off on one of her little tirades there. Then what the F are we doing here?
Yeah. That was great.
And it's true. It's true. Why are you caring that much if you mm-hmm. are over her, right?
Yeah, which was a fair thing for her to say. I mean, she kind of screamed it, but...
Well, because she wasted her all day.
Yeah. Playing investigative.
And here's the thing. And I can chalk back on a personal experience with this. Like I said, he's trying to move on. And sometimes those steps aren't easy to take. You can't just take big leaps. Sometimes you have to take those small steps. And that's what he was trying to do. But when you get somebody butting their nose in your business and who's now forcing this stuff to you, it's not going to make anything easier.
No.
Now, Jonah could have just at some point he's easily just put a cease to this all in the very beginning. But as you said, we wouldn't have had the comedy and the television show that we had if he did. But, and where I say this wrecked this poor man's life is, as we get later, he's out to dinner with Hannah. And now it seems like he's trying to convince himself that he wants to be there, right? He makes some weird comments about, I like this, I'm glad to be here, or whatever.
Yeah, it is very, it's very, he's convincing himself that he's happy. Yeah.
It's very, it's like Kelly.
And here's the thing.
You know.
Well, now here's the thing. Not to say, I'm not saying that Hannah was going to, he was going to end up marrying Hannah, right? But because of Sandra, he wasn't able to go into this with a clean plate. Maybe they were going to go out to dinner one time and it wasn't going to work and they were going to go their separate ways. Maybe they were going to go out to dinner one time, have wild, passionate, crazy monkey sex and never see each other again. Maybe at dinner they would realize that because she's still Carol's lawyer, mm-hmm. maybe there is some sort of weird professional thing that would stop that, and maybe they wouldn't see each other again. Maybe they would just realize that they're not as into each other as they think, right? The thing is, we don't know what could have happened because it was never given the opportunity to happen on its own. And that's where I say it's kind of like giving an alcoholic a drink by accident. And that's what Sandra did in this situation. She put something around him that he shouldn't have been around. And now he's trying to convince himself that he wants to be in that situation where I think had she not done this, he wouldn't have needed to convince himself. He would have actually been happy to be there. He would have actually wanted to be there because, as we've seen previously, he was really interested in Hannah. And that's what upset me about Sandra this episode.
Yeah, I can see what you mean by that because... I mean, she sort of, I mean, not sort of, but she did influence him with the Amy stuff in this episode. And you like, you know, the other thing too is we've sort of seen Jonah do this before, right? Like in regards to Amy, even before they got together, like Cheyenne's wedding with Kristen and with, you know, still liking Amy though. He was like, hey, let's move in together or whatever. And then same with Kelly. He sort of, it's always, I think, a running joke now that someone even said about Hannah. They're like, you know, now he's thinking about Amy, so he'll probably ask Hannah to move in because he kind of tries to, you know, convince himself and move forward with the other girl when he's caught up in his feelings for Amy so much still.
I don't. I think we'll this will end eventually in the first of the two parts next week.
Yeah. Well, oh yeah, you mean with Hannah? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that'll end with probably within the first part of next week for whatever reason. Maybe Hannah will realize he's not all there.
Well,
not like mentally, but like he's not all there to be invested right. in trying in starting something. Or she might be able to tell he's hung up on somebody. Mm-hmm. And, you know.
And see, that's a good point because, like we said, she doesn't know that that Jonah and Amy dated, were together, you know. So I'm interested to see how that's going to come up.
Or maybe Carol spills the beans.
It's true. It's Carol, so.
But, yeah. But I mean, I just, and I get what they were doing, but I just, like, this is the part where I just feel bad for Jonah because he had a chance to at least try to move forward, and Sandra stopped that from happening. And that's just unfortunate to me because as someone who, like, my first divorce wrecked me, and it's not easy to try and do. And, you know, you got to have friends around who are trying to help you move forward, and she did not do that.
Yeah. But, yeah, to be continued. We will see what happens.
Yeah, so anything else before we talk about Golden Vest and moving on?
I think that's it.
None for me.
All right, Golden Vest. I'm going to go ahead and give it to somebody that may not work there, Lowell Anderson.
Yes.
He just made me laugh a lot. I love Dave Foley, so I'm going to go with Lowell.
I will second that and give it to Mr. Anderson.
And I think even though it wasn't like funny moments from her, I will give it to Cheyenne because I really liked her in this episode.
So this is the hopeful / frustrating part is with the show ending, you have Cheyenne who has made a lot of strides this season, right? And we talked before, we forget that she's only like 22 years old. Yeah. So she's still trying to figure herself out and trying to come into adulthood, really, right? And she's starting to do that. And it's great to see. Nicole Sakura does a fantastic job playing that role. With the prospect of the spinoff of her and Bo together, I don't know in what stage of development that's in. It may not even get past the development stage. Mm-hmm. We don't know. We haven't heard anything yet. But, you know, for Nicole Sakura's sake, you know, or not for her sake, but I, you know, if that's an opportunity she still wants to do, I think obviously it is, I'd be all for it. But I just hope they don't kind of dumb her back down and bring her back to the ditzy Cheyenne.
Yeah.
If they do that, because that would be a fear of mine, is that she wouldn't kind of make any more strides without other people around her. That she'd go back to the ditzy party girl Cheyenne and we would lose that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see that. Unfortunately,
especially with Bo.
Ratings 0.5 in the demographic, which is the highest since Depositions. When we look at viewers and millions, 2.33, that's the highest since hair care products with 2.51. Mm-hmm. So was this one back at 8 o'clock? I didn't watch it after.
Yeah,
so
it was
sure.
at 7, 8. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What is it like having your prime time start an hour earlier than here?
You mean like?
I feel like that. Like I feel like 7 is way too early for me to start. Really? Like you know the
that's
for the prime time. Like 8 o'clock for me is. I guess because that's what I'm used to. But I'm like, that's a... Yeah, 7, it's like, I still just got off of work and I'm still making dinner or eat it. You know, like it's...
Oh, it's... Trust me, it's interesting sometimes because I come from a different work than my normal work, but I'm always trying to do stuff and eat right before then because I have to separate myself to watch it because I'm watching it and tweeting. And to be honest, a lot of the time I miss certain things because I am tweeting, so then I like rewatch it the next day on Hulu. But it's funny, Seven isn't. It's, I think it's just what we're used to because sometimes I feel like it takes forever to for it to be Seven. So if I had to wait till 8, I'd probably go crazy.
8's like perfect for me because I gotta you know. Make sure I get my stuff done. Then, and we're back at 8 o'clock this week for the hour, so that's good.
Look, being out here on the West Coast, right? Yeah. So it still comes on, if it's not live, if it's like this, a sitcom or something, it still comes on at the appropriate time. It still comes on at 8 o'clock. So that doesn't change. The good thing about being out this far is live television comes on earlier.
Yeah, like sports. I always think of that. Sunday night, like Sundays, right? You wake up, football's fantastic. On, and your night game first, ends at like 8 p.m.
Game,
first game comes on, 1 o'clock kickoff. First game comes on at 10 a.m. out here. Then you got the 4 o'clock game, which comes on at 1. Then you got the Sunday night game, which will come on at like 7, 7.30, 8 o'clock. Like the Super Bowl this year, which I was able to be home and watch, I think kickoff was 4:30, I think. 3:30, 4:30?
3:30, because it's 6:30 over here,
The game was over by like 7, 8 o'clock.
That's great. You have the rest of your night.
And then, and then I was able to like celebrate the fact that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers won. And but like I said, it's 8 o'clock, it's done.
Right.
I'm a wrestling fan, right? My wrestling pay-per-views typically... on the East Coast, they start at 8 o'clock at night. And then they go to close to 11 o'clock. Here, it's like 4 or 5 o'clock, I'm watching it. 8, 9 o'clock, they're done. I still can either sit down, watch something else. I can relax. Still full clothes. I can, like, if I want to go out, grab something to eat, or go to a store, I still can.
Yep.
Like,
mm-hmm.
My night's not completely done.
Yeah, I always forget that, too. Like, when I watch award shows, because it might be 6:37 or something by the time like when it airs here for me, but I forget that all of those celebrities in California are 2 hours behind and it's basically starting at, you know, like 3 or something. And
and the red carpet for stuff out here because it's still daylight. And then so I used to live in Burbank when I first moved out here, and it was maybe like a 15-20 minute drive to like Hollywood Boulevard and all that stuff. So, like, when the Oscars and everything would come around and, like, they would just close all the, like, that whole area would be closed off for a couple of days leading up to it and everything. But it's great just to be out here for, like, live sports or live television because it happens so early. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm up until, you know, like, 11, 12 a.m. sometimes with some of those games.
Yeah, especially if it's a game you're invested in or you want to watch.
Yeah, if it's one of my like when Ravens play Monday nights, you know, or Sunday nights, it's terrible. Because then after if you win, you have the high of the win, and I'm like browsing online, and it's like I can't go to sleep for a bit. So, anyway, let's talk about these press releases here.
Yeah, do you have fan mail you want to read?
We do, yes, but let's. We do have a fan mail from Australia that we just want to talk about real quick. John from Australia gave us a shout out saying, love the podcast. Just found the show a month or so and have enjoyed binging and listening to you after each one. So thank you, John.
Thank you.
Hope you enjoyed the shout out and hopefully you continue listening. We're going to try to go back to some of those ones we missed. And, you know, if the Cheyenne... you know, gets picked up. We'll try watching that for the, you know, see how it is at least at first.
Yep.
So press release, we got Perfect Store, which is airing at 8 o'clock. Remember, these are two different episodes, 8 o'clock on the 25th of March. Some inside information leads the Cloud9 employees to try to make the store seem perfect for one day. Then we have All Sales Final. That's the series finale. That's at 8:30 on March 25th. The employees celebrate the past, present, and future of Cloud9 in this hilarious, emotional series finale. we talked about before, Aylin and I are going to try live streaming right after. So probably like 9:15 Eastern, 8:15 Central. We just got to make sure everything's working. So we got to take that moment to set everything up, make sure it's all working before we jump on.
I might be a mess. I'm not sure. Depends what happens. Aylin
with fresh tears flowing down her cheeks will be live at 9:15 Eastern, 8:15 Central. We're going to try to keep, you know, like we might briefly talk our thoughts there, but we're going to try to save most of that for the actual podcast with Casey. But, you know, if you guys have anything you want to shout out to us, or if you're watching us, you know, send us, as soon as the episode's done, send us your thoughts on Twitter at TBR Podcast, because we'll read some of those live on the after show. But we wanted to do something special for the series finale. And I think we all know where it's heading with the store closing now and that title, All Sales Final. So I'll put it to you guys. What do you guys think is going to happen here in this episode? These episodes.
Oh, so much. So much to think about. So what do you think? What we think is going to happen, or what we hope happens?
What you think. Okay. Let's go with what you think. Yeah.
Yeah. So one of the things too that I'm interested to see how, and also how quickly it comes up next week, is Amy is back, right? If you didn't know that already, you've been living under a rock. But she's back. There's a promo on Twitter already for it. I'm interested to see, like, if she doesn't know, which seems to be the case that most people think, about the store's closing, what does she find out because she's back? What is she there to really do and say? Also then...
Stop. You're just interested in her and Jonah.
No, I'm talking about Amy right now and her job.
Yeah, you know, no, you're just interested in her and Jonah. You can say that if you want. We all know
I
the
mean,
truth.
I was going to get to that, but actually I was going to say, like, is she out of a job? So, I mean, I don't know. That's actually kind of the first thing that I was thinking about, aside from you.
True, yeah. Huh? Or will Zephra absorb her somewhere?
Yeah, no, that's what I was going to even bring up before, but now that we're talking about the finale, that's actually the first thing I was curious about. Aside from, yes, the samosa stuff, Casey, but I mean, I wanted to figure out exactly what's happening with her job. And I don't really know what I think is going to happen, to be honest. With the other characters, I think we'll see, I mean, I hope we see a bit more with Eric and Mateo, you know, have that, bring that back again to see if there is going to be a proposal in the finale or a wedding. I don't know. There's a lot of talk of flashing forward that people have mentioned in the very last episode. Also, I just watched an interview that Ben did because he apparently just did a lot of press for the finale. And he did mention there's a montage in the finale, and that they, that Ruben Fleischer, I think how you say it, he directed the finale. He said they also...
And Venom.
Yeah, you're right. And so he said he was back to direct the finale. He said they also did a lot of kind of different, unique camera direction and things that they haven't done at all, or things they haven't done since the pilot. And he said there's a lot of references to the pilot, which makes me really excited and happy, because, you know, there's a lot of good stuff there. So I'll just leave it at that, really. What about you guys?
Yeah, Casey, go ahead.
I'm interested. I don't believe... Amy knows. I'm interested to see the first episode more than the second, to see how they're trying to pull this perfect day off and what's the reason. I think maybe like the CEO or somebody another bigwig is going down there, and that's probably why they want to do that. I'm interested to see the interactions with her and Jonah whenever that happens, especially from the preview that's out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wonder how long it's going to be before somebody opens their mouth and brings up Hannah to Amy.
Yes. Yeah.
Because I don't think that's going to take long in that store. I actually am interested to see what they do with Mateo and Eric, or just Mateo in general. Like I said, his story has been a saga that's gone on since what, season two?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's been a thread throughout, you know, four or five of these seasons here. So it'd be interesting to see what they do. If they're even gonna resolve it or how it's gonna happen. I hope it does. I hope it does get resolved in some way. And honestly, that's it for me.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're definitely gonna get some sort of montage of the future, right? From the way it's worded here. So I guess we'll see how that works. You know what I'm going to predict? Maybe Glenn's either going to retire or he's somehow going to reopen Sturgis and Sons.
Oh, that would be nice.
And run that. I'm going to predict that, and maybe that'll be a future segment there, and maybe we'll see a wedding.
Who's wedding?
You know, I don't think the future thing will take too much of the time. I think it'll probably be a 5-minute montage, yeah, where you just kind of see where everybody ends up. I'm not sure where it ends either. Like, I don't think we're going to go 6 feet under where they went all the way to when each person died. So I think, you know, where do you end it? Is it 5 years from now? Is it 10 years from now? I don't know. But I say a wedding because I'm not sure. I don't think they'll show us Jonah and Amy's, but if they do, I want to still be right. So I'm just going to say they show us a wedding. And yeah, my bold prediction is the Glenn, Sturgis, and Son. I just thought of that due to them bringing it up again here. You're going to have like a vacant lot, maybe, you know, if they have to, if they end up selling where the store is, maybe he, you know, purchases that, or he gets another area where he's able to open up a store.
That would be nice.
And he has, you know, foster kids. He also has his other kid now. So it could be, you know, like, mm-hmm, you know, passing that down. And
And not to mention that we know pretty much everyone is back and in the finale too, you know.
Yeah, like Bo, Jerusha. And Jerusha.
Yeah. And Ben said somebody too is it back in the finale who was in the pilot and hasn't been around. And I'm like, I need to go watch the pilot now and see who he's talking about.
Tate. No, I'm just kidding. Tate's not in the pilot, but
maybe it's a random little callback to some random customer. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
It's for your moment of beauty.
Yeah, well, there might be a moment of beauty reference. I didn't mention really anything Samos related because on the inside, I'm hoping for a lot, but I'm also still trying to be somewhat realistic here. So she's back. I got her back. So I'm happy.
Look, I don't think they would have shown it in the preview if they didn't plan on making a reference or having it have something to do in the finale.
Yeah, true.
Because, I don't think anybody would be watching other than people who've been following the show. But, like, the average person who might tune in wouldn't know anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
But anybody who's been watching the show since the beginning will remember that moment, that
right
scene. Yeah. So
could be, like, a reminder, too, you know? Like, you know, sometimes when things get spoiled because a TV show says previously on, and then they have to show something and then it comes back up again and then in that episode. So it could be something like that too, where they're like, it's coming back up, so we got to make sure we promote that it was originally there.
Right. Yeah.
Because casuals may not remember, you know, it's been 6 years. You know, if you're looking at casual people that don't rewatch all the episodes or do podcasts about the show and such. All right. Well, I guess that about wraps it up here. TBR Pod, you know, is where you can find us on. Let me get the whole thing up here. Here we go. TBR Podcast on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook.com/Breakroom Superstore. Email us at thebreakroomss@gmail.com. Make sure you send us everything you got, too. When you watch this finale, you know, we're going to be recording sometime that weekend or sometime around then. And once you watch it on Thursday or Friday, send us everything you got. We'll try to make a... even if we have to do a bonus episode the following week, which is all reactions, we can read some people's reactions on the show as well. But it's been a great journey with all of you, and I'm excited to watch this finale. So have a heavenly day.